Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is a particular honor for me because, let's face it, my presence on this stage is pretty unlikely. My father was a foreign student, born and raised in a small village in Kenya. He grew up herding goats, went to school in a tin roof shack. His father, my grandfather, was a cook.
Welcome to Current Events with Patrick Cook. I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern. We are the number one resource for small business and nonprofits. To learn how you can showcase your business or nonprofit, go to our website at TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com for details. Man, we have another great show in store for you today. So sound the alarm. Get on Facebook, Twitter, Foursquare, or Tumblr. Send out emails and text messages. Call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Current Events with Patrick Cook. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. And for those of you that are listening via Blog Talk Radio, leave your comment. Click the follow button or follow me on Twitter. And that's at TaylorMade101. I'll be reading your tweets live on the air. And I also have a chat room open. Out there in the chat room, you can leave your comments or ask questions. So whatever your pleasure, chat room, Twitter, Facebook, or just plain old my bell, we want to hear from you. But first, let's take a look at the current events.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. Greetings and salutations. I'd like to welcome you to Current Events with Patrick Cook on this kickoff, NFL kickoff weekend for the National Football League. We're very excited. A lot going on. We had a lot of football this weekend, and certainly we'll have it for the next couple of days, so I'm excited about that. We want to talk a little bit about what's going on with the Atlanta Hawks. That's right. An offensive email prompts Atlanta Hawks co-owner to sell stake in his business. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Also, there's news about Pam Oliver. That's right. Pam Oliver says she was humiliated after being demoted. So there was an article that came out this weekend, and that's all the buzz that's going on. And everybody that knows Pam Oliver was a veteran sports reporter. That used to be speaking on out downside on the sidelines with all of the football players, the African-American female that was out on the sidelines. And she was demoted and was humiliated by that. And she speaks out about the event. And so we definitely want to talk about that. But before we do that, that's right. I am going to be bringing the Black Acre segment early today. I wanted to get it out because it's a juicy topic today. And I wanted to get Leo Baron Hicks in and to get him talking about it because it is a remarkable writing this week. And I wanted to get him in and get him to talk about it. So without further ado, let's get started with the Black Acre blog. And for those of you that are listening for the first time, I encourage you to go out to blackacrepolicyforum.org. That's BLACKACRE Policy Forum, Black Acre Policy Forum, all one word, .org, and check out the blog. I mean, there's so many classic writings out there. I would encourage you to go out there and take a look. It certainly will enhance your perspective on a lot of the socially charged issues, politically charged issues, and not necessarily regarding one race or another, but as a race issue as a whole. It really gets into the core matters, no matter what minority race you are. And so I encourage you to go out there. And today's blog is called Reaping and Sowing: The Political Consequences of Lessons Unlearned. Now I'm going to read a little bit of it. Then we're going to invite Leo Baron Hicks on, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. So I would encourage you to give a call, ask your questions, make your comments. And to do that, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. And so the blog reads, in order to discern how and why it lost the 2012 presidential election and to chart a new course forward, the GOP launched its Growth and Opportunity Project. The project reported concluded, amongst other things, that young voters increasingly roll their eyes at what the party represents and that is losing elections because of the widespread perception that the GOP doesn't care about the people. The report recommended specific policy recommendations, including immigration reform, outreach to African Americans, Latinos, and women voters, and championing the middle class. Now, the report can be looked at it by Mara Liaison, RNC report, a postmortem on failed 2012 election. You can get that at NPR. The honesty of the report and the courage and foresight of the GOP in commissioning it is commendable. Sadly, the report and recommendation therein have been largely ignored. Consider, for example, the recent pronouncements of Rafael Cruz, the father of Texas Senator Ted Cruz, during the August 21, 2014 speech before the Western Williamson Republican Club. The elder Cruz opined that the blacks don't know that the minimum wage is bad and that we need to be educated about the GOP's role in the civil rights movement. See Michael Rignick, Ted Cruz's dad, average black doesn't know the minimum wage is bad, and also you can get that at MSNBC.com. In all fairness, the GOP was instrumental in the quest for civil rights, and Mr. Cruz is undoubtedly a gifted man. But he is not African-American, does not speak for or represent African-Americans, and is no authority on our needs, education, or otherwise. If memory serves, the elder Cruz was born and raised in Cuba. Worse, he is not alone in his condescension. The notion that blacks have been kidnapped by the Democratic Party and are too uneducated to know that the GOP and conservative political thoughts are in our best interest is a common Republican theme. So, too, is the notion that we are willing slaves of big government and the handouts come welfare it provides. For example, Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney believes he lost the 2012 presidential election. President Obama's extraordinary financial gifts to African Americans and Hispanics helped pull him over the finish line. Alan West, black conservative and former Florida representative, contends that the Democratic Party was hijacked. The discussions of civil rights and has been disingenuous in presenting the Republican role in the civil rights movement. More on that at the Huffington Post. These are similar comments due to the GOP no good. They are instead contrary to the 2012 postmortem and only serve to alienate the very people the party needs. We would therefore suggest that the GOP consider the following. Now, here's where Black Acre really takes it a level down. So take a listen at this. First, respect our intelligence. African Americans are neither uninformed nor ignorant, and we need no re-education. Despite what some might think, we have not been hijacked or brainwashed by either the Democrats or the Republicans and are more than capable of deciding who and what are in our best interest. The same applies to the young men and women and Hispanics. Additionally, we are no more slaves of welfare than any other group that receives a government benefit. Farmers are not made slaves by the receipt of farm subsidies. The elderly are not held in bondage by their acceptance of Social Security, and religious institutions are no less free because of their tax-exempt status. Rather than attribute our political decision to brainwashing, ignorance, and or laziness, Republicans would do well to respect said decisions as it does other voting blocks. Lastly, we are more than capable of reading between the lines. When the senior crew says that we need to be educated, what he is really means is that we are stupid for daring to agree with him. When Sarah Palin accuses the president of shucking and jiving, we know all too well that the phrase has been historically used to depict African Americans as clowns, liars, and fools, neither to be respected nor taken seriously. And we need no light to see the purpose and intent of constantly referring to the first African American president as a communist, socialist, terrorist, Muslim, Kenyan, liar, and mongrel. Simply stated, we are not stupid. Second, lose the arrogance. Jettison the condescension. Republicans cannot shame us into voting for the GOP. Talking down to or lecturing people are bad habits the GOP needs to break. Third, show some compassion. We readily concede our shortcomings. This does not mean, however, that the heartfelt expression of concern for the plight of African Americans is unwarranted. And politically said, empathy would pay immediate and continuing dividends from the black community. The GOP might therefore consider mimicking the late Jack Kemp, a Republican who managed to both reach us and touch us. Fourth, reposition your policy. As the Ford article points out, during the 1920s, black voted heavily for Republicans. We did so not because we were hijacked or brainwashed, but because the GOP endorsed policies that spoke to our interests. This explained in part why civil rights icon Martin Luther King was a registered Republican. Today's GOP is anything but the party of Lincoln. It has instead mutated into something which is at times frightening. From blacks and voter suppression to women's health and reproductive issues like forced transvaginal ultrasound, the personhood movement of the Hobby Lobby cause, to Hispanics and immigration, to gays and marriage equality, to economic issues like equal pay, family leave, and minimum wage, to some of the more outrageous comments made by Republican leaders, GOP policy and positions are anathema to the very groups it allegedly covets. Little wonder that, according to the Ford article, approximately 5% of registered Republican voters are black. In summation, what is needed is not a different message or a messenger, but a different approach. Until the GOP treat women and minorities with respect, unless it demonstrates real compassion and understanding towards these groups, and absent the articulation of public policy that speaks to the hopes and dreams of all, the Republican Party will continue to lose presidential elections. It will continue to reap what it sows. Leo Baron Hicks, founder and CEO, Black Policy Forum. I would like to welcome Leo Baron Hicks to the show. Leo, welcome to the show.
How you doing, guy?
Absolutely wonderful. Glad to have you here. Now, Leo, it's always a pleasure to have you join the show because you always do such a great job in kind of breaking issues down so that, you know, the layman like me can understand it, but yet put a lot of impactful statements in there so that anyway from policy decisions can be made from your blogs, anywhere from social leaders can understand it, you know, all the way down to the layman, as I stated earlier. In this particular instance, I want to know kind of what was the main purpose of this blog that you wrote here, and kind of talk about why you wrote it.
I guess the main purpose was to persuade the Republican Party that we are not stupid, stop treating us like we're stupid, and more importantly, to persuade them, quite frankly, that they can get a significant percentage of the black vote, but they can't get it the way they're going about it. If they appeal to our interests, they can get some of the black votes. But by telling me I'm stupid because I don't agree with you, that's not the way to get it done.
What would you say then to the person that says they don't really want or need our vote? I mean, if you can still have influence in the party by hijacking Congress, you really don't need the presidential office, because the way that the money is spread across now with these new Supreme Court decisions that allowing money to kind of be spread across in elections at will, then why even seek the presidency?
Well, quite frankly, they need our vote because the browning of America is inexorable. They can't stop it. They can possibly deal with it. But if they try to deal with the browning of America by suppressing our vote, they're going to lose, because we won't forget that. We will remember that. And not only will we remember it, Hispanics are going to remember it as well. And they can't do that with women. Women know exactly what's going on. When Republicans start talking about legitimate rape and the body has a way to shut that whole thing down, the only thing they do is offend a large segment of women voters. They would do well, quite frankly, to follow their own report. Their report that talks about the need to woo minority voters, the need to woo women voters, the need to champion the middle class, the need to broaden their appeal, was precisely on point. And I'll be damned if they're doing everything but that. It's just amazing to me.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. But again, I go back to this whole notion that they don't need our votes. They really don't need to court us, because if you come out with a report and the report clearly states what your shortcomings are, as you outlined in the report here, in your blog here, but they make no effort towards moving in that direction, doesn't that tell us that they don't really need our votes? Doesn't that tell us that they don't really care about trying to court minorities or women? Because for two reasons, I would say. One, because of redistricting, and then two, because of suppressing votes.
Well, that's a logical conclusion, but that's not the only logical conclusion. I think another thing, though, is that if anyone has been kidnapped, it's the Republican Party that has been kidnapped by the Tea Party and the radical right. And I think the problem with the Republican Party is they know what they're supposed to do, but they are afraid that by appealing to African Americans, they're going to lose their base, and that is white Southerners, and they are loath to do that.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that, because again, I go back to when you look at the primaries, for example. The primaries, certainly the candidates go hard to the right, and they say anything that really comes out that's really anti-minority or anti-women. And so, but it's hard to recover from when you're talking about a general election and you're talking about you need, you know, a larger part of the electorate. So can they have both? I mean, can they live in this world of Southerners and live in this world of trying to be palatable to the general population?
I don't think they can, because if they thought they could, they would have never come out with that report after 2012. Now, they can win possibly the midterm election, because that's an election that's pretty much dominated by older folks. But when it comes to a presidential election with the continuing Browning of America, they are not going to win presidential elections unless they broaden their appeal. And they can do it. I mean, that's the thing that kills me, that we will vote for Republicans as we have voted for Republicans if they would just appeal to our interest. But so far they haven't. I mean, who in the hell is Ted Cruz? Who in the hell is Rafael Cruz, a guy who was born in Cuba?
Right.
Exactly. To tell us that we're uneducated. What is he really saying? He's saying that he thinks we're stupid. We are not so dumb that we don't know what they mean. I don't care the buzzwords they use.
Yeah, they do have a lot of dog whistles going around. So what is it? What was the shift that caused Republicans to start moving away from a logical or a rational a base of getting the entire electric as opposed to just going in the other direction?
The Southern strategy, which was initiated in the mid-60s, which was an intentional strategy by the Republican Party to capture the South by appealing to Southern racist and racist sentiments, by converting the Southern Dixiecrats that used to dominate the South and converting them into Republicans. That's when it started.
So certainly the demographics have shifted in a lot of ways. So why is the Southern strategy still working today?
Again, because I think they're afraid of alienating their base. I think that if they broaden their strategy, if they moderate their policy, they're afraid that they're going to anger and frustrate those people that still hew to the Southern strategy. I think to some extent they're captured by their own success, by their own ideology.
So let's shift to the other side of the aisle for a minute, the Democrats. I mean, if the Democrats, they should have a good foundation then with the other part of the population. I mean, if you're talking just one aspect of the population, Southern whites and you know, some ideologues, then everybody else should be Democrats. Why aren't the Democrats doing a better job then of winning the House or winning the Senate when you got majority of the people on your side? What's wrong with the Democrats then?
Well, I think you hit upon it. I'm not quite sure there's anything wrong with the Democrats, but when you talk about redistricting, when you talk about gerrymandering, what happened in 2010 is that wave of Republican elections put a whole bunch of governorships and state legislatures in government control. And once they got in those positions of power and authority, they start changing the rules to permanently favor them. And so they begin to gerrymander. They begin to redistrict such that redistricting supported them and made sure they were in safe seats. And they begin to pass the voter suppression laws, the voter ID laws. You know, what I find most interesting about the voter ID laws is that they say they're doing it to preserve the integrity of the system. Well, they weren't concerned about the integrity of voting as long as Republicans were voted in as president. You didn't hear them say that when Ronald Reagan was elected. You didn't hear them say, you know, we're concerned about the integrity of voting when George Bush was elected. But as soon as Democrats started getting elected, then they changed the rules. And you notice that they don't go after all votings. In other words, absentee voting, which always favors Republicans, they didn't touch that.
Interesting. So then it seems to me that the American people should be more involved, more engaged, that not allowing these things to happen. So it seems to me then that the American people must be okay with this, right? Must be okay with gerrymandering, must be okay with voter ID laws, because otherwise there should be an uprising about these things.
Well, I don't know if the American people are okay with it. I think part of the problem is the midterm elections, typically the Democratic base doesn't vote very much in midterm elections, you know, because for some reason they think that the presidential election are the most important ones. And so midterm elections tend to favor an older voting bloc, which happens to be the Republican voting bloc. But again, my concern is this, that if the Republicans start talking about economic development and start talking about bringing economic development into the minority community, if the Republicans talked about that, yes, there is a cultural problem with black-on-black crime, but here is a solution to deal with this problem. If they showed that kind of concern, they could get a sizable population of the black vote. And quite frankly, we need both parties, all parties, pulling in our best interest, not just one.
You know, I like that because my initial thought was that if I'm dating someone and I continue to take them flowers and I continue to give them cards and take them out and do these things, and they continue to just shun me, not pay attention to me, not return my calls, why should I continue to entertain that individual? So in a similar manner, why should blacks or minorities or women continue to entertain the Republican Party when they, you know, flat out refuse to address their issues? But to your point, it sounds like that when you do have both parties engaged, you end up getting better policy decisions come out because they're both trying for the betterment of society. Is that where you're going?
I think so. There is benefit to black Republicanism. Now, I'll be frank with you. I don't get them. I don't understand them because I don't understand why they tell me I should vote for a party that does everything to keep the group that I belong to from voting. And they never address that issue. I mean, why should I vote Republicans when Republicans are imposing everything they can to make sure that my group doesn't vote? In fact, your group doesn't vote black Republicans. However, having said that, if Republicans really believe in capitalism, bring some of it to the minority community. Talk to me how we can create jobs and businesses in minority communities. I want to hear that discussion. Sadly, I don't hear that coming from the Republican Party. Now tell me if you hear it, but I don't hear it.
You know, I don't, and that's why I'm talking about, you know, I'm dating someone and I continue to entertain them, take them flowers, you know, call them, but they never return my calls, never show up. And so why is it then I want to continue to even court them at all? And so, you know, for the most part, Republicans are written off by most blacks because of the same reason I just pointed out. They really don't try to court us. They really don't try to address our issues. They really don't try to come in to our neighborhoods and just talk about what their values are. And they continue to do, as you suggested in your blog, about talking down to us, those dog whistles to call us basically stupid. And so, you know, I'm not real sure if, you know, trying to get the Republican Party to, you know, to cater to our needs is the right thing to do, you know, because we do, you know, we do have people that are, you know, that are considering to be independent. So maybe we should court the independents as opposed to Republicans and just write the Republicans off. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know if we should write anybody off, though. That's my concern. And I don't know if we should write off the Republican Party because the Republican Party is a big party. I mean, they do have power. They have influence. But I get tired as an African-American of being lectured to by people like Ted Cruz, who constantly – and he's not the only one. When Mitt Romney says the reason he lost is because President Obama's gifts to blacks and Hispanics pulled him over the finish line, you know, I'm thinking, what the hell are you talking about? What gifts has he given us? You know, why would you say something like that? How do you expect to court my vote and earn my respect if you tell me that I'm lazy and I just want somebody to give me something? And that's the reason you lost? I mean, nobody appreciates that kind of whining, that kind of excuse making.
I definitely have to agree with you on that. I wonder, though, is when you're saying the Republican Party, What about this notion of the Tea Party? And how do you separate the Tea Party people from the Republican Party? Because they all register Republican. Tea Parties don't have really a true party. They're just kind of usurping the Republican Party. So now that we have this Tea Party, they're kind of almost taking over the Republican Party. Maybe we don't have the Republican Party anymore.
Well, or maybe the Republican Party is morphing into the radical right, as exemplified by the Tea Party. I mean, one of the things that kills me about the Tea Party, when they talk about limited government, first of all, they really don't believe in limited government. They love government as long as it's pushing the issues that they agree with.
That's true.
They only mean limited government when it's pushing an issue that they don't agree with. You know, then it's government overreach. But that's my concern with the Republican Party. You know, at one point there were moderate Republicans. Nelson Rockefeller, for example. Abraham Lincoln, for example. Ronald Reagan was moderate by today's Republican standard. But Sarah Palin, Rafael Cruz, I mean, come on. I mean, how can I, as a relatively intelligent black man, vote for people who call the first black president a mongrel?
Yeah, it's pretty hard to understand, and that's why I'm still kind of standing fast on the fact that maybe the Republican Party is no more. Maybe what we thought was the Republican Party has, as you suggested, maybe morphed into something that's different, and we will never get back there anymore. I mean, there's a lot of value in race baiting, hate baiting. There's a lot of people that can make money out of, you know, this rhetoric about the president. There's a lot of people that can make money off of not trying to do what's in the best interest of our society. I mean, Sarah Palin is obviously doing it. Glenn Beck has done it for several years. Rush Limbaugh does it on a daily basis. So when people continue to talk down, talk bad about African Americans, or not just African Americans, but minorities, and talk bad about women, they're making money off of this. And so there's really no incentive for the Republican Party or the Tea Party to even cater to minority needs, because there's no return on investment. And so I don't understand, you know, if that is the case, how we can continue to court the Republican Party when it could potentially may not even exist anymore.
I mean, that's a point well taken. If the Republican Party, despite their 2012 report, which said they should moderate their views, has gone even further to the right. I mean, just completely ignored everything that the report has recommended. They're going further and further and further to the right. And at some point, that position will not be sustainable.
I certainly agree. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, I want to talk about the steps that the Republican Party can make towards getting back to address minority voters and women voters. I want to talk about steps. I want to get your take on what the steps that the Republican Party can take outside of the list that they put together. What are the real true things they can do on the ground to do that? You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Be back in a moment.
You are listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas. My mom and dad will be right back after these messages.
Cook Enterprises have joined forces with Google Inc. and Amazon.com. With this new partnership, our companies, Tailor-Made Training and Consulting, Current Events, and Ask Jima, can now offer you the best deals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're looking for a discounted book for your book club or a very special gift for a friend, family member, or loved one, TaylorMade's Marketplace is where you should go first. Visit our website at TaylorMade101.com and click on Marketplace to get the best deals today.
Thank you for your call. Let me read you a couple of my Twitter family, and then I'll have you respond, Dr. Hutchinson. But I want to read the first one from one of my best Twitter family members, Ask Jima. And Ask Jima says, Reverend Al, today is my birthday, and I'm sitting in Barnes & Noble Starbucks watching you online, driving people around me crazy. And I want to wave at her and the folks she driving crazy and wish her a happy birthday on her 21st birthday. That's my friend. And of course, my East Boone friend.
Need a new website? Haven't figured out your social media strategy? Are you finally ready to tweet, post, or blog? Well, look no further. Go to TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com. We are the number one resource for small businesses and nonprofits. We're a full service, interactive consulting firm specializing in social media marketing, web design, technology workshops, as well as leadership and management training. So go to TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com. Google me.
Welcome back to Current Events with Patrick Cook. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, numbers 323-580-5712. Now we're on with Leo Baron Hooks, the founder and CEO of BlackAcrePolicyForum.org, and we're discussing reaping and sowing the political consequences of lessons unlearned, his latest blog, and I would encourage you to go out there and read it now. One of the questions, or one of the points that Leo brought out was about the Republican National Committee issued a postmortem to the 2012 election, and we were discussing some of the recommendations that came out of that and how the Republican Party would pretty much benefit if they was to start implementing these. But quite naturally, since 2012, here we are in 2014, nearing the midterm elections, we have not seen any real results. So I want to talk to Leo a little bit about, you know, some of the statements that were made in the report, and I want to ask Leo, how do we get them to really do it on the ground? So, Leo, the question, one of the comments that Rince Priebus made, he said that focus groups described our party as narrow-minded, out of touch, and stuffy old men. The perception that we are the party of rich, unfortunate continues to grow. So how do they, Leo, how do they get rid of this perception when it's really the reality?
Well, it is a reality, but I tell you one thing they could have done. One of the recommendations that BlackAcre made is show some compassion towards African Americans and other people. Imagine the impact if a Republican leader or a Republican contingent had gone to Ferguson, Missouri, and just been there and said, we are sorry that this happened. We want to hear from you. What can we do to make sure this never happens again? Imagine the photo opportunity, the political impact, if just one Republican had showed a tear's worth of compassion for the people in Ferguson, Missouri.
You know, that would have been a powerful impact. You know, but sometimes, you know, they do to try to go out there and, you know, and have these optics work in their on their behalf. But in most cases, when they do that, there's no substance. It's not backed by anything. It's almost like, I when I hear the term, I got a black friend, it's almost as if they're saying, you know, I got a black friend when they come up and do these things, because they're not really putting anything behind the optics. So let's say hypothetically that would have happened. What would be the impact in amongst African Americans when there's really no relationship there?
Well, I'll tell you, I have a cousin who unfortunately is suffering from terminal cancer. And I called him the other day, and the only thing I could say to him was, I love you. I love you, man. I love you. Even though I can't cure his cancer, me saying that is impactful. It is very impactful just to show a human connection to another person. So even if the Republican Party didn't do anything but go to Ferguson, Missouri, or even call the mother of Mr. Brown and say, we are very sorry for your son's loss, that would have been deeply appreciated by the African-Americans in Ferguson, Missouri, and I, as an African-American, would have deeply appreciated it.
You know, I have to agree with you on that, Leo. That's an amazing comment, and I think we should call them out on that in a lot of cases because they don't support any of the African-American issues. We need to know why. One of the comments you made in here was, first, respect our intelligence. Elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, look, I mean, again, don't tell me or imply to me that I'm stupid because I don't vote Republican. Don't tell me or imply to me that I'm a welfare king or queen because I don't vote Republican. Don't think that I'm not smart enough to know what you mean when you say that the president is shucking and jiving. Don't lecture me about what I should know and what I need, and you have no idea who I am and where I've been. Those are the kind of things that irritate me as an African-American. And don't tell me that I should vote Republican by political sound bites and political talking points when, as you said, there's no substance to it. Give me something real. Don't play me for a fool. And all too often, the Republican Party tends to play people for fools. It does the same way to women. It lectures women about women's health issues. It's one thing to hit me. It's another thing, though, to tell me that after you punched me, you really didn't do so. On one hand, you've harmed me, but on the other hand, you've insulted me. And people just don't take well to that.
So let's talk specifically about some Republicans that I hear a lot about, and that's the Koch brothers. And they tend to kind of fund a lot of activities, especially when it comes to political parties. Most recently, the Koch brothers donated $25 million to the United Negro College Fund. What do you think about that?
I think that's great. I mean, even if their motives were to give them cover, you know, like a neighborhood drug dealer who gives everybody a turkey every Thanksgiving, but all the other times of the year he's selling poison to his community, you know, which has happened in our community, quite frankly. Even if the motives are insidious, giving that money to black colleges and universities is a good thing.
So
they need
so
the money.
Right, understand. So even if the motives are insidious for the Republican Party going to Ferguson and showing up and just, you know, being there, you think that's also warranted as well? I mean, I think that the Republican Party, I mean, they try to whitewash everything with money. So I guess my question is really along the lines of, can they donate enough money to African-American causes? Will this kind of ease the burden, or is it more?
Well, I think they have to do more, and I'm not suggesting that they fool us with gifts, you know, like a beware of people bearing gifts. The Greeks go to the Trojan city with the horse, and, you know, the Trojans think this is a great thing, but the Greeks are hiding in the Trojan horse.
Yeah, like the blanket with Polo on it.
Yeah, I mean, right, or the blanket with smallpox that people gave to the Native Americans, right? So I'm not suggesting that. You know, the motives do need to be sincere. They do need to be pure. But I can tell you one thing the Republicans would do well to mimic, and that is Ron Paul. When he says that we need to end the war on drugs, that the war on drugs has been disastrous to African Americans, that it has been unfairly implemented and put too many African Americans in prison, that's a cause that the Republican Party should join. It won't cost them anything. And God knows that the war on drugs has been disastrous for African Americans. So, again, there are some things that the Republican Party can do and should do. They just haven't done them.
I have to agree. Yeah. And I don't know if they are going to do them. I just don't see, you know, when I – Jim and I laugh about the Dallas Cowboys going back to the football as I open earlier, and the fact that they continue to lose, they continue to go 8-8, people continue to buy their merchandise, but they yet have yet to produce anything of substance coming out of the Cowboys camp. And, you know, and I often joke about the fact that Jerry Jones has no incentive to do anything differently. He is making money hand over feet. He is very profitable. He tends to continue to sell merchandise out of Cowboy Camp. What incentive does he have to change anything? And so I would say the same thing when it comes to the Republican Party with respect to the minorities and women in their camp. They have nothing to gain from courting the minorities because they continue to be in a position to be winners. Now, winners doesn't necessarily mean winning the White House because they've made the connection. I don't necessarily have to be president to be able to cause havoc. I don't necessarily have to be president to be profitable. And that continues to be the case. As long as they continue to win the House, as long as, you know, you have voters not participating in the midterm elections, as long as they continue to control both and parts of the government, then Senate and the House are part of the government, then they don't really need – there's no incentive for them to change. So, you know, I think this is an awesome blog, first of all. And second of all, I believe that you're right in a lot of ways because I think that the Republican Party need to do those things. But the question remains, will they? And I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I tell you, though, but the problem for the Republican Party is this. This is a short-term strategy that they are pursuing. Inevitably, they're going to lose because the policies and programs that the Republican Party trumpets are not favored by young people. Young people don't care about what your sexual orientation is. Young people tend to be less hung up on race than some of the older people are. Young people understand reproductive freedom. So the current policies that the program, that the Republicans are pushing, appeal to the older folks, but the older folks aren't going to be here much longer. They do not appeal to younger folks, and they certainly don't appeal to African Americans, and they certainly don't appeal to women. If we are insulted because Republicans talk down to us, imagine how women feel when some old white guy tells them what they should do with their uterus. As a long-term strategy, that's a losing proposition.
Yep. I certainly agree. However, I just say that, you know, when you look at the statistics about young people voting, it is still not in the numbers that you do have older voters. When you look at the fact that all of the issues you mentioned about reproductive health, about voting, about all of those things, about who you marry, those things are certainly on the forefront of young people's mind. But are they going to the polls? Are they making any changes is the question. And I really don't see that happening. If we did, then you wouldn't have the House kind of controlled by the Republican Party, a party that don't care for them. And so it'll be interesting to see, especially this November, what happens when we know clearly that the Republican Party has not made any movements in the direction that they voted. I mean, they quoted 2 years ago when the RNC report came out. And so, you know, it seems like to me American people have a short-term memory. They don't go back that far. And so the Republican Party, again, they have no incentive to change until when they start losing these House and Senate races, then I think they'll do something. But otherwise, it's going to be a Groundhog Day all over again.
Well, I tell you, you make a good point, but I will say this, though. One of the recommendations by the 2012 postmortem was that the Republican Party become much more social media savvy because Obama kicked their butt in both elections because he knew how to work that social media program and social media campaigning.
Yes.
I don't know if the Republican parties are doing that yet, but that certainly gives additional credence to the need for the Republican Party to change. And if they don't change, they're going to go the way of the dinosaur.
Yes, sir. All right, give me your final thoughts, Leo. We're going to end it there and talk about what you got coming up in the next week.
Well, I tell you, one of the things that I'm concerned about is African Americans and the need for respect, because I am persuaded that one of our biggest problems is that we are not respected as a people. And I hope to explore that perhaps in the next blog.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, Leo Baron Hicks, once again, Leo, thank you for joining as always. I look forward to having you on every week.
Hey, man, I really appreciate it, and I love your show. I think you have the best blog talk radio show out there. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. We're going to take another quick break, and when we return, we're going to talk a little bit about the Atlanta Hawks. What's going on with the Atlanta Hawks basketball team? Be back in a moment.
Enterprises have joined forces with Google Inc. and Amazon.com. With this new partnership, our companies, TaylorMade Training and Consulting, Current Events, and Ask Gemma, can now offer you the best deals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're looking for discounted books for your book club or a very special gift for a friend, family member, or loved one, TaylorMade's Marketplace is where you should go first. Visit our website at TaylorMade101.com and click on Marketplace to get the best deals today.
Current Events with Patrick Cook is joining the fight with First Lady Michelle Obama to help feed hungry children and stop childhood obesity. During the school year, many children receive free and reduced price breakfast and lunch as a result of the school breakfast and national school lunch programs. However, when the last bell sounds, marking the end of the school year, for many, it marks the beginning of hunger that will plague them throughout the summer. Here at Current Events, we're going to fill that nutrition gap and make sure children can get the nutritious meals they need. To learn how you can help with this worthy cause, go to TaylorMade101.com and click on Hunger Free. That's TaylorMade101.com and click on Hunger Free.
Thank you for your call. Let me read you a couple of my Twitter family, and then I'll have you respond, Dr. Hutchinson. But I want to read the first one from one of my best Twitter family members, Ask Gemma. And Ask Gemma says, Reverend Al, today is my birthday, and I'm sitting in Barnes & Noble Starbucks watching you online, driving people around me crazy. And I want to wave at her and the folks she's driving crazy and wish her a happy birthday on her 21st birthday. That's my friend. And, of course, my East Point friend.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Current Events with Patrick Cook.
Patrick Cook. Welcome back to Current Events with Patrick Cook. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. I want to shift now to a report that was recently released in a number of places, but we're going to talk about the one that was from the USA Today, entitled Bruce Levinson Will Sell Atlanta Hawks After Releasing Racist Email. Yeah, this is another basketball partner that has some comments to say that was racist that was released, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this and get you to respond. Atlanta Hawks controlling owner Bruce Levinson has self-reported to the NBA that he sent a racist email in August of 2012 and will sell his interest in the team. Levinson reported the email to the NBA in July, almost 2 years after it was sent, but while the league was deep in litigation over the now-completed sale of the Los Angeles Clippers, the investigation was ongoing when Levinson decided to leave the team. The email to the Hawks president, Danny Ferry, details Levinson believes that the Hawks fan base was too heavily African-American. I wrote an email 2 years ago that was inappropriate and offensive, Levinson says in the Hawks news release Sunday morning. I trivialized our fans by making clicked assumptions about their interests, i.e. hip-hop versus country, white versus black, cheerleaders, etc., and by stereotyping their perceptions of one another, i.e. that white fans might be afraid of our black fans. By focusing on race, I also sent the unintentional and hurtful message that our white fans are more valuable than our black fans. Levinson was one of the most strongest critics among owners of Donald Sterling, the Clippers owner, who was recorded making racist comments and quickly banned from the league. I think that's an interesting take, and it goes back to what Leo was referring to moments ago about respect. It seems to be that respect is something that is lacking amongst African Americans, and I framed it as getting the benefit of the doubt in most cases, because when something happens, it seems to me that African Americans is never given the benefit of the doubt. And it seems like Bruce, in this particular instance, is putting the African Americans. He didn't say certain types. He talked about too heavily African Americans, no matter where they were seated in the building. He seemed to put them all together, saying that his intent, and this is something he said, I trivialize our fans by making cliched assumptions about their interests, i.e. hip-hop versus country, white versus black cheerleaders, and by stereotyping their perceptions of one another, i.e. that white fans may be afraid of our black fans. And so, here we are again, and it seems to continue to permeate our society about the perceptions of African Americans. Now, what's interesting is that some people want to blame African Americans and what they do for this, but on the same token, we should also consider the perception of people and where are they getting these biases and perceptions from. We really need to take a look at how African Americans are being portrayed in our society. We really need to take the commercial brand of blacks in America, because it's having an impact on everything we do in our society. We cannot be a better place when these biases continue to creep up. Time and time again, they play out in our police department. They play out in our politics. Now they're playing out in our sports. So I would encourage you to reflect as we begin to end today's segment. But again, I would encourage you to take a look at this article and see, for yourself what's going on with the Atlanta Hawks, and voice your opinion. Go out to TaylorMade Talk Radio. blogspot.com and leave a comment on the article that we're going to post up there later today. Again, it's TaylorMadeTalkRadio.blogspot.com and leave your comment on the blog we're going to post later today. Again, that's our show for today. And again, I'd like to thank, of course, Leo Baron Hicks for his outstanding blog work that he does with Black Acre. And we continue to do this every week. Well, that's our show for today. I would like to thank to all listeners for tuning in. And a wonderful thank to my special guest, Leo Baron Hicks. My co-host, Jimmy Hill Cook, is out at a baseball game watching the Little League play. A big shout out to William Patrick Cook as he get up there to knock a big home run today. Wishing you luck, William Patrick and the White Sox. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. We are the number one resource for small business and nonprofits. Now, don't forget to bookmark this site and to visit my blog. And that's at TaylorMadeTalkRadio.blogspot.com. That's TaylorMade. Talk Radio, all one word, .blogspot.com. Remember, it is written, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So stay engaged, stay informed, and stay plugged in to Current Events with Patrick Cook. You're listening to the sounds of George Spencer. Take us away, George.